Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So I just want to let you all know that with The Chosen, for those of you that have not seen The Chosen, I really recommend you go online and have a look at the trailer for The Chosen episode that they're going to be bringing to the theater. I think it's going to be very powerful. I know that after the first service, they sold like hundreds of tickets already. So get your tickets as soon as possible. Amen. We have reserved two theaters because we already ran out of the first one on the first week. And so we have space, but get your tickets as soon as possible so we know if we need to get more. Is that okay? But we're very excited about it. I think it's going to be a wonderful outing for us. It's on a Wednesday, so it's in place of U Group that night. So if you're a U Group leader, bring your whole U Group. If you're not in a U Group, that's okay. This will be your first U Group. It'll be a really big one. Amen. It's going to be great. We're going to have a wonderful time. This week, I actually had planned on preaching a completely different message. But what I did was, you know, I'm going to be teaching a series soon out of the book of Revelation. And I thought I'd rather bring that into that teaching. So I've moved that for another day. And this morning, I want to focus on something. Last night I spoke about joy, the joy of the Lord. Is the joy of the Lord not a great thing? Amen. And, you know, we kind of spoke about dealing with situations that we've been going through. This has been a difficult year and a half, 2 years for many, many people. I think that goes without saying. How many of you think COVID has been a little bit of a challenge? People have gotten sick. Family members have gotten sick. People have lost family members that they love. It's been difficult. But Jesus is the answer for everything. And it's interesting because in John 16:33, Jesus actually tells us something very powerful. It's a very familiar scripture. He says this. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," everybody say in me. I want you to know there's no other way to experience this. He says, "In me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation." He wants you to know that while you're in this world, you will face tribulation, difficult times, challenges. You're going to go through some stuff. And then he says this. He says, "But be of good cheer." And I'm like, what do you mean? There's nothing fun about going through difficult stuff. When we go through trials, when we go through tribulations, when we go through different things that are hard, it's not fun. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. And then he goes on to say this, "I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world." And this morning, I want to show you what I believe he's trying to tell us. It's incredible because Jesus, when he spoke while he was on the earth, in his omniscience, he knows everything. You know, I don't know, while he was here, we don't know everything that he knew or didn't know. We don't know all of that. But what I'm amazed at is how he would say things that we would only be taught by the apostles years later. To be able to really understand what Jesus was trying to say. It's incredible because everything Jesus said, he was speaking to an audience, whether it was his 12 or to a group. He was also speaking to you and I, wanting us to grasp what he was saying 2,000 years ago today. And it's really powerful for me because I believe that, how many of you know that when he said you would have tribulation, that's the truth? But he also told us that we mustn't worry. In fact, we should be of good cheer because he's overcome. And because he's overcome, we can have peace in him. You can't have that peace outside of him. There's just no way. The world can never have the peace that you can have. And I'll prove it to you this morning. I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm talking about a peace that is totally different. He also says, he says it will have this tribulation And then he tells us to be of good cheer. So why is it that we should be of good cheer when we face tribulation? Why is it that we can celebrate difficult times? It kind of sounds like weird, am I right? So let's go to Romans and have a look at what Paul tells us. And this is, I believe, very powerful. I'm only going to go through 5 verses, so we'll be gone by 4:30 this afternoon. Aren't you glad I'm not teaching 10 verses? Romans 5, verse number 1. And we're just going to start with the first part, the A part of the verse, because just that is so powerful. He says, therefore, having been, past tense, justified by faith. I want you to understand the word justified is very powerful. Because what that means is that it's really what it means is just as if I've never sinned. You have been justified. You have been made whole. You have been saved. You have been rescued. You are no longer going to die, but you're going to live forever. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus is your Savior, and everything has changed or should have changed for you. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, he tells us that the only way this justification can come to you is by faith. In other words, there is no other way that you can be made justified. There is no other way that you can place on a robe of righteousness. There is no other way that you can be made whole. There is no other way that you can be saved but through Jesus, and the way to it is faith. In other words, if you want to be saved, if you want to give your life to Him, the Bible tells us that we must believe. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He was raised from the dead. How many of you believe that in this place? If you truly believe that He is your Lord and that He rose from the grave, you are saved, which means that you are justified. That means your sins are forgiven. That means that you are innocent. That means that you are redeemed. That means that there is nothing that you can do for this salvation. There is no works. There is no deeds. There is nothing that you can do. It has already been done by Jesus on the cross. So he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, past tense. Past tense. In other words, I am already standing justified. What does that mean? Just as if I never sinned. Well, that's good news for some of you. That's great news for some of you. Not for me, because, you know, I glow in the dark. He says this. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that we have this peace? And what peace is he talking about? First of all, he says this peace is a peace with God. So now there is peace between me and God. Why? Because I've been justified. In other words, I've been made whole. I'm saved. I've been justified. How? Through Jesus Christ. No other way. Not my works, not my deeds. Even though I do many good things, it's none of them. Is that okay? The only way is because of what Jesus did. And because of what he did, I now have peace with God. In other words, I am no longer at enmity with God. Me and God, we are good. You have peace with God because you have been justified. You are saved. There are so many Christians that are still not at peace with God because they feel like they have to earn His forgiveness. Come on. I know I'm talking to you. We've probably all been there at some point. The fact is your salvation comes through Jesus. No other way. And now we have peace with God. I have peace with him. In other words, listen, not because of what I did. The only requirement was faith, that I had to believe that God took a white flag and set it up and said, son, you and I, there's peace now between us. There's peace between us. I'm still at war with sin. The Bible says, Paul says that there is war. There's a turmoil going on between in my flesh, in my body. Sin and the spirit, there's a battle taking place. But that has nothing to do with God. Me and God, we're okay. We're good because Jesus died on the cross. I've been justified. And now I'm at peace with the Father. I'm at peace with him. I'm saved. I'm righteous. I'm holy. You sinner, you. How fortunate are we, guys, that Jesus has done it all? That's why when we take communion, we remember. We proclaim what he did on the cross, because that's the only way we can still be here, continuing to fight the good fight of faith, not because of our good deeds. Nothing wrong with doing good deeds, but you must understand that's not what saved you. Only Jesus saved you. And now we have this peace with the Father. Some of you don't even believe that God likes you. I said this last night. I want you to know that he doesn't just like you, but he adores you. The Bible says that when you get saved, you get adopted. That adoption is like the greatest father that was going to adopt you. The most amazing, caring, just, righteous father was going to adopt you. So your image of a father, if your image of a father is not a good one, imagine what the best father could be like when he adopts you. And how fair he would be and how righteous he would be. And he takes you in with a love that cannot be compared. And this love that cannot be compared, he brings you in. And now he gives you an inheritance. And he gives you a new name. And he gives you a bright future. Your past doesn't matter anymore. Now you're his son. And you're at peace with him. So your struggle with God on the inside must come to an end. Because what required that peace, not a feeling, it's peace between God and me. We're not at war anymore. That peace has been paid for on the cross. And I have a right to it. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Now that's what we've been given already. Isn't that powerful, guys? Take a look. Take a look at what Isaiah 53 says. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. We are healed. I want you to see that because of what Jesus did, now we can enter into peace with God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Romans chapter number 5. Let's read verse number 1 again. Therefore, having been justified by faith, how are we justified? By faith, nothing else. We have now been given a peace through Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse number 2 to say, through whom we have access. Everybody say access. How do we have access? By faith. There is no other way that you have access to God. You have access to him because of what Jesus did on the cross. You see, the first thing is you were justified. And now there's peace between you and God. But not only did he do that for you, he also gave you access. Everybody say access. What do you have access to? You have access to his presence. You have access to his grace. You have access to his glory. You have access to his presence. You have access to God. You have access to his grace, which is constantly working towards you. You must understand that in the days of old, they did not have access. They did not have what you and I had, because Jesus had not come and taken the place of all our sins. If someone went into the Holy of Holies, they would die. In fact, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year with bells connected to him, so that if he died and a rope, they could pull him out of the holiest of holies. But when Jesus died on the cross and you were justified, your sin was taken away, the written requirement that was against you has been removed. Not only was there peace between you and him, but now he's given you access. The Bible says that the veil was torn. And we now have access to God. I don't know about you, but I think that's already reason to shout. I don't know about you, but I think that's reason to celebrate right there. Not by your works, but by faith. In other words, it's already been done for you. There is nothing required. The price has been paid. It's like it's been put in front of you. Hallelujah. That's good news. In fact, that's better than good news. That's the best news right there. Ephesians 2 verse 13 says this. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. There is no more separation between us and God because of what Jesus did on the cross. You have access. You have been justified. You now have peace between you and the Father. And now you have access. You have access to God. And he says this by faith, into this grace in which we stand. Oh, the word stand in the Bible, in the New Testament, is a powerful word because it describes your position in Christ. You stand and you put on the full armor of God. You stand against the wiles of the devil. You stand in the grace of God because of what Jesus has done for you and I. I hope you're getting this morning. Jesus has given us peace. He has given us access. So let's break it down again. First of all, we have been justified, past tense. Second of all, we now are able to stand, present tense. We stand and have access. And lastly, look at what he says. He says, verse number 2, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Oh, this is so powerful. The glory of God. Let me read something to you before I come down. I'm just so excited. 1 Peter 1 verse number 3 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us, that's you and me, again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that Jesus died and rose again. And now because of his death and resurrection, there is a hope for you and I. Not only did he save us, justify us, give us a right standing with God, give us access to God, but now he's also given us a hope. What is that hope? That in the end of this life, on this earth, we will also enter into glory with him. I don't think you realize what I'm teaching you. First of all, there is nothing you have to do except have faith. That faith in him and what he has done justifies you. You, filthy animal, you have been made righteous, holy. You stand and you can come into his presence. You now have access. You have access to God. You have access to his presence. You have access to his goodness. This is an incredible thing. Not only do you have access now, but there is a promise that there is a glory that you will enter into. And that glory has already been signed and sealed and delivered for you. All you have to do is follow him, walk with him, make a choice to believe in him, stay with him. Come on. That's all you have to do is believe. If you believe, you'll do. Can you say amen? But it's done. It's done. And I want you to see that he's going to tell us in just a moment that that was reason to shout. But you didn't shout loud enough. Access. You see, he goes on and he says, watch this now, verse number 3. And not only that, in other words, he's saying, listen, all of that is so incredible, but not only that. Now you understand why you should have shouted. Because there's more, but that was reason enough to shout right there. So not only has he done all that for you, although that is so good already, but not only has he done all that for you, but he says this, watch now. He says, but we also glory in tribulation. And I see this and I'm like, Lord, I know what you have done and are still busy doing now and promised me for the future, and I am so grateful for it. But there's more. And he goes on and he says, but we also glory in tribulation. You see, the word glory there is not like the word glory that we just saw. The word glory that we just saw is doxa, which is a different Greek word. This word here is different. And this word actually means to brag. Or it means this, to rejoice. So in other words, not only do we celebrate what Jesus has done for us, is still doing for us now, and what we'll still do in the future, but while we're on this earth, going through different tribulations, different trials, different things, we will be able to brag or rejoice in those things. The word tribulations there means trouble, oppression, affliction. Now remember, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And now he's saying to us, the writer of Romans is saying to us, but we glory. In other words, rejoice, be of cheer because of the tribulation. He says that we do that. So not only should we be of good cheer, but now because we understand what Jesus has done for us, what's available to us. You see, when you know your rights as someone who inherits something, when you know your rights, if you're like, for example, a prince of a king, and you understand your royal rights, you know they're yours. And no one can take it away from you. So when you walk in the city as the prince, you walk in the city and everybody knows, there's the prince. He's a royalty. We better pay attention to him. There's some things that he has. He's royalty. Are you with me? I want you to know that it works like that for you now. So all of heaven and all of the spiritual realm knows what your destiny is. What's important is that you know it and understand it. Because when you do, you will begin to celebrate in your tribulation. It sounds like an oxymoron. Like, how is that possible? But you see, when tribulation comes, something is busy happening. He says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Why? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. You see, when trouble comes, because you understand what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and what he will continue to do till the end, no matter what comes your way, you can deal with it. You can get through it. You can overcome it. You can, not only will you overcome it, not only will you deal with it, but it will actually change you. It will make you stronger. The Bible says the word perseverance actually means patience or endurance. In other words, listen, how many of you have ever had something happen to you that was really challenging? And the first time it happened, you almost fell apart, right? But when it happened again, you fell apart just a little bit. And then when it happened again, you sort of were able to cope with it a little bit better. And then when it happened again, it didn't affect you even remotely as much as it did the first time. Now when it happens, you don't even bother. It doesn't even bother you anymore. Now let me tell you something. As a pastor, When we planted the church and people would come against us, I felt every word. I mean, if someone didn't like me, my world was broken. At this point right now, I really couldn't care whether you like me or not. Okay? And I don't mean that in an ugly way towards you. I mean, of course I care, but what I'm saying is it doesn't affect me anymore. Why? Because I know what He's done for me. I know what He's still doing in me, and I know what the end result looks like. So when I go through tribulations, when tests come, challenges come, what it's doing is it's maturing me. It's changing me. You see, and what the Bible says, go back to that verse for me, please, is that the tribulations, they produce perseverance, but that's not all. Next verse. And perseverance produces character. Character is what we need to survive. But when we walk with God and we understand what Jesus did, when we go through these trials and these tribulations, we have a hope. The world does not have the hope that we have. You and I have a hope. We know what the end result is. We know what Jesus has done. We know how we stand. The question is, when you're going through those tribulations, what do you do with them? Do you still shout? We don't shout enough. Do you still shout while you're going through it? Because while you're going through it, that's when perseverance is produced. That's when character is developed. And we begin to grow and we begin to change. And not only that, but every time we get through it and we begin to persevere and persevere more, now all of a sudden we even have more hope. And take a look at what it says. Next verse. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit is teaching you. Remember, the Bible says the grace of God which has appeared to all men, that grace brings salvation. Once you have received that salvation, that grace that came to you begins to teach you. The Bible says teaching us to deny ungodly living and worldly lusts. It teaches us to walk with God the right way. Why? Because we understand. What do we understand? What Jesus has done for us. You see, you'll never be able to get it until you grasp how awesome the price was that was paid for you. And the price that was paid for you was not something that happened and was only working back then. It's something that's working all the time. And not only working now, but something that will also be for your future. So every time trials come, every time tribulations come, the difference between you and the person in the world is they have no hope, but you have hope. And everything that comes, God is producing character. He's changing you. He's drawing you closer. He's not necessarily the one that did anything to you, but He takes all things and He works them for the good, for those who love Him. If you begin to serve Him, if you begin to follow Him, if you choose Him, every situation He will turn out for the good. And those trials and tribulations will produce perseverance. They will produce character, and that character will produce even more hope. I don't know about you, but I am so grateful to God. I am so thankful to God. The Bible says that we should count it, trials, we should count them joy. You can't do that if you don't know what Jesus has done for you. You can't do that if you don't know what you have access to. And you can't do that unless you know what the end result is. As a Christian, you should not fear, especially the afterlife. Because that's glory. Well, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to remember anything. Nonsense. The Bible says that the martyrs will say to Lord, when are you going to bring judgment on them for what they did to us? How do you think they, what does that mean? That means they remembered. They remembered. And by the way, they were aware of what was going on the earth in heaven. They must have left their harp at home that night. They weren't floating around on clouds that day. There is much, much more to what God has planned for us than just this earth. But it's time that you and I recognize what He has done for us and the power in it. You see, I can take this scripture, read it to you and present it to you as though this is what has happened and this is what this is, and it's great. But until you grasp it and understand the power of it, it cannot produce change. Do you really realize everything that Jesus has done for you? Do you recognize the fact that the written requirement against you has been removed? I'm so thankful, guys. And now I can stand. I can stand and have access to His presence, have access to Him, have access to His grace. And also there is a glory that is waiting for me. The Bible says we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. How do you think that is? Perseverance, character, change, getting ever closer to Him, to the inevitable when we will all be with Him. I don't know if I said it in the first group. If you arrive at church one day and I'm not here, Naomi will be with me. We'll be gone in the clouds. You know you've missed the rapture. Hopefully no one will come here, okay? Except Pastor Mike. I'm just kidding. Just joking, okay? So he'll be with me too. Amen. We'll all be going together. Make sure that your life is right with Him. Make sure you recognize what He's done for you. And I want to tell you something. It's not that hard. It's like the will has been written. It's been laid on the table. All you have to do is pick it up and say, "Yes, Lord, thank you for what you've done." And then just go for it. The instruction manual has been written. And the directions are clear. All you have to do is follow them, and you'll have everything He's done for you. You'll be able to walk in it. Do you realize what He's done for us? And the only requirement is faith. Believe. Choose Him.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.